You've got your Bibles. I'm going to, if you will, keep them open. I'm going to go to three different passages this evening. And in some of my studies, I was looking at this and this this word phrase just kept going over in my mind. And I'm going to try to share with you the thought the Lord gave me on this. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11. He says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give you good things to them that ask him?" Now, if you will, turn to Luke chapter 12. In verse 28, Luke chapter 12 and verse 28. He says, "If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe ye, O ye of little faith?" Now, if you will, turn to Hebrews chapter number 9. Hebrews chapter 9. And I'm going to read a couple of verses here. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13. It said, For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from the dead works to serve the living God? There is a commonality of these three passages. Three words, how much more? And that's what I'm, my thought is tonight, is how much more? This phrase appears that, and if I could just say by how much more, there's a common practice among the rabbinical Jews that if they was trying to make an example, they would take something that was common, something that is true, something that is evident, something that's small, something that is obvious, that there was no question about, no discussion about. Everybody knew that this was a fact. And they would use that and say, well, if this is true, then how much more should this not be true? And it's not a guess. It's not a hope so. It's a conclusion. Because the lesser has already been proven. I'm going to break these three verses down if you'll allow me to this evening. And I'm probably going to spend a little bit more time on the passage in Hebrews than I am the first two. But we see a flawed father that gives good gifts. We see grass that dies and it's here one day and then it's cut down and then it's thrown in the fire the next. And then we see animal blood that cleanses the flesh. But first off, I want to look at how much more will he provide. In verse number 11 of Matthew chapter 7, he says, "If ye then, being evil," well, that's a good start. He's taking something that everybody knows about, and he's not telling us that of how bad we are necessarily. But you know, Brother Mike, I think I had the best dad in the world. He was a great father. But great fathers, you can take the best father that you know, the best dad that you can imagine, the best person that you ever know, and in comparison, he's evil. He's still a man. A good father, even though they may not be the best father, they will still, God put it within them to provide, to give provision. The worst parents I know, if their children are doing without, the father will pass up the plate to make sure the child gets something to eat. God put the provision, that nature inside of a father to provide for his family. Now, I know that what Scripture says, and I'm not too far off base here, a man that won't provide for his family is worse than an infidel. But for the most part, fathers have a desire to provide for their children. But the best father out there, my dad was a great man, but he wasn't perfect. He wasn't perfect. He goes on to say that if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask of a fish, will he give him a scorpion? How much more would our Heavenly Father provide for us? He gives us so much more provisions than what our earthly father can do or think. But then I want to look at Luke's gospel. How much more are you valued? In verse 27, he talks about, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, nor they neither spin. And in verse 28, he comes in and says, if then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? He just got through talking about in the previous verse about the lilies, but that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about the grass. Just the everyday old grass that's out here in the yard, that's in the ditches, that the cows graze on, that Rick tries to mow with the grasshopper, and it's this tall, just grass. The grass is not there for anybody. It doesn't have an audience. It doesn't have a soul. It's not, I've never had anybody come over my house and says, man, you got beautiful grass. There'll be people that comment on Joetta's flowers. They'll comment on her apple trees, or they may comment on something else that we've got planted. Maybe the years past, we've had gardens, and man, you've got a beautiful garden, and look at those ripe tomatoes. Can I have some? But I've never had anybody ask me, man, you've got some lovely grass. Can I take some of that home with me? But if he cares for the grass that has no soul, that is here today and gone tomorrow, how much more valuable are you that he created mansions in heaven? He said, I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not true, I would have told you so. A new mansion in a new land, in a new earth, a new heaven, with a new body. How much greater is his provision, and how much greater is your value? O you of little faith. He did not say, O ye of little value. You are valuable. If he dressed something up, the grass of the field, how much more valuable are you? And then finally in Hebrews, this is really where I wanted to get to tonight. In verse number 13, I'm going to read this again. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? We have to stop talking about his provisions and your worth when we come to this scripture. This verse deals with the deepest things that I believe each and every one of us deal with every single day. And that is our guilt. Chapter 9 of the book of Hebrews walks us through the old covenant. You can read it when you go home, but I'm going to read just a couple of verses here. It says, for instance, now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always, I'm reading in verse 6, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God, but into the second with the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. So every year the priest would go into the first tabernacle and perform the services of God. It was his duty to trim the light of the golden candlestick and partake and change the shewbread and burn incense and morning and evening and on the golden altar. But the high priest, on the 10th day of the 7th month, once a year, would go into the holiest of holies, into the second tabernacle. He would bring in the blood of bulls and goats, of heifers and goats, to sprinkle on the Ark of the Covenant for the sins of himself and the sins of the congregation. Now, here's the interesting thing, is it worked. It worked. But I want you to look at verse number 13. The last part of that verse, it says, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. Ceremonially, they was clean for a year. Their sins was forgiven for a year. As we say, sometimes only skin deep. They was purified. But then, you know, animal blood could never reach a guilty conscience. It could never wash the mind. There are people that are Christians, that are good Christians, that have been saved to the uttermost, that stay up night after night, sleepless nights. You've carried around your past. You've carried around your guilt, the sin that you once done and are guilty of, but the guilt crushes you every night. But in verse 14, he says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience . The blood of bulls and heifers could only go skin deep. But the blood of Christ goes to the innermost part of your being. The deepest part of your being is your conscience. It can do what the outward blood can never do. His blood purges our conscience. The animal did not choose to die, but Jesus Christ chose. It was His choice. The blood of bulls and goats can never get there. They wasn't supposed to. The lesser blood proves that the sacrifice matters. But the greater blood shows that it has been dealt with completely. I see a father that gives good gifts. How much more provision does Jesus Christ give? I see grass that lives one day and dies the next. How much more does our Heavenly Father value you? And I see animal blood that only reached the flesh. But how much more will God reach into your conscience? The question tonight, I guess, is not, will God provide? The question is not, does God value you? And the question is not even, will God cleanse you? Ever lesser mercy you have already trusted in. Are you going to continue to live like, O ye of little faith? Live like you're still under the old covenant? Or will you stand up and live like a person that has been given, valued, and purged by the blood of Jesus Christ? There is a greater mercy that you can trust today. How much more He gives, He cares, and He cleanses. I know that there's some of you, because the devil works on me too, that live with the guilt of our past. We live with the conscience of past sins and what we have done, the wrongs that we have made. But if the blood of heifers and goats, if it worked, and we know it worked, animals that had no say-so of whether or not they was going to be sacrificed and used for the atonement, how much more powerful would Jesus Christ, who came to this earth and chose to die? It reaches deeper than the deepest ocean, higher than the highest highs. Thought about that passage in Romans. You familiar passage? It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How much more? I know I'm not off base. Brother Virgil, there is church people all over this country that have to go to counseling because of the mind. Anxiety, depression, past regrets, the could-have-beens, what-ifs. The devil is an accuser of the brother, and he will play mind games with you because he's good at it. But I'm here to tell you that the blood of Jesus Christ, how much more, it'll reach to the deepest inner beings of your soul, purify and cleanse you and make you whole. How much more is the power of the blood of Christ?